Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. In studio with me are certified financial planners, Stephen Lucan and Tony Payne. How's it going, guys? We're back at it.
Yeah, doing well.
It's another great day.
Great. We're going to be talking about open enrollment. This was something
season.
The producer and I were just talking about is we didn't really understand the language. It's industry language. So want to kind of get into what it is, why it's important, and how to maximize your benefits through your employer. So let's explain to people what is open enrollment. What does it mean?
I'll go wide, very broad, because you could deal with open enrollment with kindergarten. You could deal with open enrollment with your employer. You could deal with open enrollment in a few things. So what we're talking about are benefits at work, or maybe you're on Medicare and there's an open enrollment window with Medicare as well. We're not going to focus on that one as much today, but there's a few different ways you could hear that and think about open enrollment.
Okay. Yeah. So it's through your employer benefits typically?
That's where we're going with today.
Okay.
Yes.
Why is it important for somebody to understand what this is?
The reason
you're going along on the job and you're doing your thing, and then you get an email that says, "Hey, it's time for you to update your income on file," and you're thinking, "Why do you need to know that? What's going on with this?" Mm-hmm. So why does this matter?
So the open enrollment is open for a reason. That open word's important, because the rest of the year is closed enrollment, if you want to call it that, or closed to enrollment. So the idea of, when can I choose which health plan do I have? When can I choose how much I'm saving for retirement? You know, all these kinds of decisions, sometimes you get locked into making once a year, and you're stuck within a 30-day window sometimes of, I've got all this, my dental insurance, my eye, my vision, my legal, all these things. How do I make the right decision? That's really what we're focused on.
And that's my next question. How in the world, when you're not an insurance agent and you're not a certified financial planner, do you look at what you've got and say, this is good, this PPO is good, or I need more because I'm older or I have different health issues now? I mean, what do you take into consideration?
Well, that's why it's so important, is you have to find out what's available, because it's not universal.
Okay.
All these options, it's company by company. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so important, is we don't know what's available when someone asks us, or we ask the client saying, what's available for open enrollment? They don't know. Let's get the benefits handbook, because that will tell you what's available. And then you have to do homework. Mm-hmm. It's like going to the dentist. It's not fun, but you have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Especially if there's multiple companies, if your employer's been growing or they have new employees and their expenses have gone up and they've shopped around the coverage and now you've got a whole new set of insurers out there. And that's sometimes the biggest change. Sometimes it's easy when they just let you opt into the old plan. There's no new changes. But it's when there's that big shift to say, okay, do I understand the terms? Like you said, I mean, going back to the basics of, what is a PPO? What is an HSA? You know, the idea of, is it an organization where I have a network, where I have to go within this network? Is it a plan where I have a high deductible, like an HSA with a health savings account? You know, these are the kinds of things out there. With understanding the definitions, then you can start to say, well, am I somebody who uses my insurance a lot? If I am, that might lead me to one path. And if I'm somebody who's not using it a lot, or maybe a lot younger and no health issues, there's another path.
Right. And it's very challenging, because it's hard to advise people on what to choose, because it's all based on their circumstances. Even from the medical plan, if you ask me what medical plan should I select, my answer is I don't know, because it depends on how often you go to the doctor. Are you on any prescriptions? What are your out-of-pocket costs? How frequently do you do doctor visits? Those are all key factors in this. So when you get that question a lot, and the answer is, I don't know, you have to figure it out yourself. But what you can help with is, here's what this means. Here's what this other item means, and go by the definition aspect.
And unfortunately, the experts I've met, or the people I know who have really learned this the best, are the ones where they may have that unique situation. They have that health issue that precludes them from, hey, not worrying about insurance. You know, I've got this drug. I get it through my employer. It's on my health now. This is super important to me, or it's my child's drug. Those are the kinds of things, too, where they know the ins and outs by calling, by waiting on hold. I mean, it's a painful process.
Yeah.
There's no one really holding your hand, teaching you through all this. Usually HR is overwhelmed themselves. They may not be the expert. They might have hopefully a good consultant or third party you could talk to. But the idea is you've got to do that homework, wait on hold sometimes, and do a lot of research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can be brutal.
Yeah.
But you definitely have to drill down and see what you're spending too. So if you use a credit card for your medical expenses, that's helpful because you can see a running list of what you spend.
It goes back to our constant know where your money goes, mm-hmm. track your expenses, because that's all part of the equation.
You mentioned an HSA. So let's kind of talk the alphabet soup here.
Okay.
Let's talk about tax advantaged accounts for healthcare. And that would be the HSA is one of them, right?
That's one of them. And that one's the health savings account. That one's pretty unique in that you can carry the money forward. You might be able to invest the money. When we were older, I'll say, or younger, the idea of an HSA was still newer. So there were a lot more flexible spending accounts, so FSAs.
Okay.
And these were accounts that were almost use it or lose it. You'd have to pick the amount. And sometimes employers still have them. You pick an amount, you use it by the end of the year for things. And if you haven't used it, it may revert back to the employer. So it definitely works different than an HSA. The tax treatment, somewhat similar. I mean, we can get in the weeds a little bit of all the benefits of an HSA, but just to say, if you're using either of them, you're usually doing the right thing if you have medical expenses.
Yeah.
And those are accounts that are offered through the employer, strictly?
Possibly. That's why it's so important to understand what's being available. It's not universal. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It may be, you may have an option between the two. A lot of times, this is now even 5-10 years ago, it was primarily FSAs and very few had HSAs. So you have to see what's available. But the health savings account is a tremendous tool to have in your arsenal from savings and investing and just accumulating because of the benefits behind it. But you have to find, again, what are your expenses every year? What fits best for you? Because some of the things in HSA, the flexible spending might be better for mm-hmm. you. So you just have to weigh those considerations.
And usually it is a lot easier if you're with one of those Fortune 500 companies that has thousands of employees that, you know, they're able to update that booklet. They know whose job it is. Everything gets laid out nicely. But if you're with a smaller employer or somebody where, you know, there's limited people doing that administrative stuff, the idea of open enrollment and not missing it. I mean, again, with no ill intent, it's easier for some of those business owners or people who are trying to do it all themselves to miss out on that and bring it up to you. And that was your one window to go through, make some changes. So again, being able to be a nag sometimes, be able to say, hey, when is our open enrollment? When is our 401k? How do I sign up for that? You're not being a nag. You're using the benefits part of your compensation package. So just like, hey, did I not get my paycheck? I'm going to bring that up. If I'm not offered or you're not bringing up the benefits you might offer me, that's a problem.
When somebody's looking at the list of benefits, and I know, I hear what you're saying, Stephen, that you kind of have to get to know your own needs. You have to see your own track record to know what you have on deck as far as health issues or prescription needs. But there is a list of benefits that are options. Would there be a template list in your mind that even though you might not need it now, you might want to look at having it in place for later? Are there items?
There's a list of what you should see is available, like disability insurance, mm-hmm. short-term, long-term disability insurance, life insurance, health insurance, all the insurances across the board. Those are the big ones that come to mind. And then the savings aspect of 401k, 403b, a retirement plan savings program. Those are the ones that come to off the top of my mind.
Those are the big ones. And if you work with a wonderful employer, there may be more. And things like maybe long-term care for you, maybe long-term care for your parents. Maybe it's a legal services plan. Maybe it's daycare assistance on site. I mean, when you think about what is open enrollment, it really depends on your employer. Like, I know you've
adoption,
been saying it a lot.
Legal services, adoption services. We've seen so many different things available.
Tuition reimbursements as well.
Given the fact that once you lock in, you have to wait a year to reevaluate.
Yeah, if you miss it, you have to wait for 12 months, basically.
It makes sense to be a little premature in some of those things. If you're starting a new planning on starting a new family, for instance, and you know, you're not with child now, but you might be in 6 months and open enrollment doesn't exist. It might be good to have something like that.
Oh, if we're able to plan ahead, especially in that situation, the idea of, you know what, you might be that young, healthy person, but at the same time, you have that planned health expense, hopefully. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing to be able to say, if we're planning ahead, where's our reserve? Where's our funds? What's our out-of-pocket for this? And then you can really feel a lot more comfortable financially.
Okay. You guys gave me a good segue. So retirement contributions during open enrollment. If somebody's already contributing to their 401k, what's the one thing they should double-check during open enrollment?
I think today's environment, it allows more flexibility with those programs where you can do it on the fly. You don't have to wait once a year. So I don't want to say it's only once a year, but things you need to consider is review how much you're withholding from your paycheck into the savings account, review the beneficiaries, how the money is invested. Are you rebalancing it every year? There's a lot of those intricacies, but a lot of it now it's on the fly where you can just do it, by the week or, you know, every month or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can pretty much do it whenever available.
So you're saying there are tentacles that allow you to log into your account and change your
investments. It's changed a lot over the, yeah. So it used to be once a year, but now it's a lot more flexible. But you got to see what your plan offers. Mm-hmm.
And depending upon the plan, again, I'm thinking of the bigger employers out there, but the idea of that open enrollment, you said tentacles, or someone did here, but the idea of it can touch into your options at work, maybe RSUs, maybe you've been in an employer stock.
RSU?
Oh, thank you. Sorry. Restricted stock. So okay. If you have those, you see that list somewhere in your grant letter, but the idea of, you know what, they're paying me in something other than just cash. So even getting options, restricted stock, those are other forms of employee benefits that may not directly tie into open enrollment. But when you think about the tentacles overall of what's my employer compensating, you know, what's my total compensation statement, those are all part of it. And the more benefits you use or the better you use them, the higher that's going to be for you.
Mm-hmm. The other one is a stock purchase plan, right? Where that's enrollment once a year and you get a discount where you can buy company stock on discount. That might be once a year. Again, there's so many different things out there. Just you have to see what's available.
So don't ignore the emails is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Let's avoid common pitfalls. So what's the mistake you think people make every year that ends up costing them
the biggest one firsthand, not from my experience, but my wife works for a health insurer, so I hear some of the horror stories. But if an employer makes you opt into your coverage, so you go through open enrollment, oh, no, I don't need any changes, and you just go through it and you don't answer that email, you don't log into the site,
right,
you might not have health insurance the next year. The idea of, hey, you had to select a plan, you dummy, pardon me, but you had to select a plan, read your email, be an adult. But mm-hmm. at the same time, we expect sometimes month to month, year to year, hey, it'll just carry over. And again, you'd probably have a real heated conversation with your employer about your how and why, but it happens. So to make sure you're logging in there, yep, and don't go without. I can't emphasize it enough because
carve out time of the day to read it all.
Yeah.
The other one is not understanding the definitions. Like a classic one I see is accident insurance, which is different than health insurance, where if you get in an accident, you have coverage. It's very cheap. A couple of the policies I've seen is only an accident while you're working. So, okay, what do? I'm at my desk all day. I probably, chance of me having an accident a little slim than somebody might be in a construction site or something more dangerous.
Yeah.
So understand those types of policies, the definitions.
And you're hitting another good one. There might even be life insurance that you can opt into for yourself, a spouse or family.
Yep.
So the idea of, yes, it's easy sometimes. You don't have to go through a health exam maybe, but what are the rates? What are the premiums? So it's a trade-off. You know what? Sometimes to get that coverage, living your busy life and to say, I've just got it, it might be the best option. And at the same time, if you've already done that, evaluate it. Could I buy this privately so that I'm not relying on my employer for this, that, you know what, if I leave, am I leaving this coverage? You don't want to rely on
it. You just read my mind. That was my final question for the session. If the open and if the health insurance benefits don't appeal to you, where would somebody go to kind of
Now you hit something
and
we
have other podcasts.
If people who are married, maybe their spouse, you have to weigh whose coverage is going to cover who.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe two independent cover them family plan. If there's children involved, which policy is going to cover the children? So you have to weigh all those options. That's the other big thing.
Asking questions though, because some of them will allow you to pick and choose. Others will say, hey, if that spouse has offered it, they have to take it. So knowing the ins and outs, not being afraid of the phone, not being afraid of pestering HR, waiting on hold, getting those answers, that's going to lead to a lot of that, especially if you have multiple people in the household.
But to go back to your question, it's always, I say 9 times out of 10, it's better to own things personally than through your employer. So health insurance is tricky, but we have the exchange where you can go buy health insurance on the exchange, just buy it independently. So you're not tied to your employer, because how many people they leave the employer and now they're out, they may be out some kind of insurance, whether it's health insurance, life insurance, disability insurance. So you buy those insurance on your own privately, so you control the policies, not the employer.
When you say the exchange?
The healthcare marketplace, exchange. That's the trade-off, though. Usually an employer, part of them providing it is they help sponsor the cost. Mm-hmm. So if they're paying half of that health insurance, you're right, Stephen. You can leave Microsoft or any company tomorrow. But the idea of, am I leaving my benefit? Well, if they were paying half of it, you might have valued that. If they were paying all of it, you might have really valued that.
Right.
So that's the other trade-off, too, in this of make sure you understand, what am I really getting from my employer? And can I do it on my own?
Yeah. A lot of homework to be done.
Yeah.
And a lot of pilfering through boilerplate legalese, which can be a challenge.
Yeah.
So that's where the CFP can come into play, honestly.
The other one to tie back to the life insurance is, as you get older, right, the need for life insurance hopefully goes down. That means you've saved your money along the way. But the one thing to recognize with the insurance premiums, they get more expensive, right? Because they're 1-year renewable term policies, group term policies. So you have to be aware of what those expenses, how much it's going to cost you, because it can get very, very expensive later on in life.
Mm-hmm. So part of doing that homework, pull out your pay stub, pull out your benefits statement. You might have that total compensation statement where the employer nickels down. They show everything, but that's important. That's the real money behind it, aside from what's getting direct deposited.
Yeah,
to Tony's comment on the pay stub, there's all these abbreviations, acronyms. If you don't know what it means, highlight it, write it down, and ask somebody in the HR department, what does this mean? Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to ask a question you may not know the answer to.
Yeah.
Right? Just say, I'm sorry, I don't know what this means.
Yeah, good idea. This has been great and enlightening. Hopefully it helped you all. Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you'll join us again. Share with your friends.
Media. Think big.